This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, October 28th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we continue our election series. Today, it's the state's attorney's race in Champaign County. AM 580's Jeff Bossert will have that report. We'll get a forecast as well from Ed Kieser in a minute. First, AM 580 News. The Champaign School Board has voted to remove a novel from a summer reading list for a sophomore-level course after a parent complained about its content. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Even the parent who filed the complaint says The Kite Runner by Khaled Hosseini is a fine novel about two friends growing up in late 20th century Afghanistan. But Cindy Harmon says a crucial element in the story, the rape of one boy by an older boy, was not something her daughter should have been required to read over the summer in preparation for a sophomore year honors English course at Centennial High School.
I'm not book banning, you know, put it in the library. Put it, you know, in the senior class, but to require chosen material for my 14 to 15-year-old, I felt that this was unnecessary.
But Champaign Central High School teacher Diane Salfelder says The Kite Runner is okay for her students because its focus is not on the rape itself, but on how the act affects the book's characters in later years.
It is not entirely explicit in the book, and I found my students able to deal with it very maturely.
But several school board members said they understood Harmon's concern. They voted 5-2 to remove The Kite Runner from the sophomore course's summer reading list. The vote does not bar the book's use in other courses. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Last night's meeting of the Champaign School Board was in Savoy, so it could include a joint meeting with the Savoy Village Board. The topic was a new school for that town, which hasn't had a public school within its limits since the 1970s. School Board President Dave Tomlinson told the trustees if Champaign County voters approve a countywide school facility sales tax next week, it'll finance the construction of a new elementary school in Savoy. Mayor Robert McCleary says the need for a new school is more than ever. He pointed to data from Savoy's latest special census that showed the town was attracting many young families with children.
We're getting a lot of kids, and I think that they're excited about the fact that the plan shows a school in Savoy for their children, so their kids can walk to school like a lot of other kids do around in this community.
Most of Savoy lies too far away from any school to have one that would be the area's main school under the district's Schools of Choice policy. That would change, though, if a new school's built there. If the school facility sales tax passes, Tomlinson says they plan to have a new Savoy school ready to open in the 2011-2012 school year. Operations at Carrie Busey School in Champaign would be moved to the Savoy School. The Carrie Busey building would then be used as a transitional building while other schools are being renovated. A University of Illinois men's gymnastics coach who trained U.S. gymnasts at the Beijing Olympics has resigned for personal reasons, according to a school official. A published report said he was being investigated for possible misconduct. Assistant Athletic Director Kent Brown says John Valdez left his job as men's assistant coach October 17th. The Chicago Tribune, citing unnamed sources, said Valdez resigned amid allegations of possible misconduct. Robin Kaler, the university's associate chancellor for public affairs, says campus police were investigating a camera found in a locker room on campus, but Kaler declined to say whether that was linked to Valdez's resignation. Brown wasn't sure where on campus that camera was found. Valdez served as personal coach for U of I gymnast and interim assistant coach Justin Spring, who was a bronze medalist at the Beijing Olympics. An Urbana man has been released from jail 3 days after his girlfriend died in a fall from his truck. State's attorney Julia Reitz says she'll wait until the investigation is over before she decides on any charges against 25-year-old Charles Leroux. Police say April Raming fell out of a truck on Urbana's Willowview Road early Saturday. Police say Leroux drove the injured woman to her parents' home where she died. City staff in Urbana recommend continuing an 18-month-old rental registration program that angered some landlords when it was enacted. But the director of Urbana's Community Development Department, Libby Tyler, says a survey found more than half of the rental property owners in the city now support the mandatory program, even though they have to pay an annual registration fee and subject themselves to inspections. Tyler says the program has uncovered problems that inspectors wouldn't have been able to find before.
Things like basement units, just making sure that there's proper egress and fire exits with the windows and the doors and proper ceiling height as well. Those are the types of issues that you might find in an older home that's been broken up into apartments.
Tyler says the income from the registration program has let the city hire staff to inspect each apartment or home at least once every 5 years. Urbana had previously had only one inspector. It's been nearly 20 years since the Americans with Disabilities Act was enacted, but advocates say unemployment rates of disabled persons are still dismal. Amanda Vinicky has more.
According to the statewide Independent Living Council of Illinois, only 30% of disabled people who want to work have a job.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jason Lloyd.
One of those is 26-year-old Jason Lloyd of Auburn, who has a form of cerebral palsy that leaves his right side partially paralyzed.
Each person that has a disability did not decide to have a disability. We did not just wake up one morning, say, hey, let's make things more difficult for ourselves.
Lloyd now works for the Illinois Department of Transportation, but he says it was difficult to find work in a society built for the able-bodied. Lloyd says temp agencies refused to test him, stores wouldn't hire him. He even had to lobby teachers to allow him to take driver's education classes. Advocates say Illinois needs to do more to educate employers, including state agencies, about hiring people with disabilities. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Champaign County State's Attorney Julia Reitz says a change in philosophy has allowed some of those who go through the justice system to take responsibility for what they've done, recover, and get on with their lives. But challenger Janie Miller-Jones disagrees with that assessment and says the office needs to do more to prevent crime to begin with. AM 580's Jeff Bossert previews the race for state's attorney in Champaign County.
In 2004, Julia Reitz took over an office that she says had a reputation for charging hard and being tough on crime. Since defeating incumbent John Pylon that year, Reitz says she's proud of changes her office has made in terms of evaluating cases on individual merit.
We don't take a police report and stick it into a computer and the computer spits out, this is what you have to do in this case. We have this discretion to make a decision along a range of choices. And in Illinois, and as in every other state, I would think, the same actual act can be charged a variety of different ways with a variety of different consequences.
But Republican Janie Miller-Jones, who spent 9 years as an assistant public defender in Champaign County, says there's no rhyme or reason between getting cases charged as a felony or misdemeanor in Reitz's office. She says that includes shoplifting cases.
Aggravating that up to a burglary for an 18-year-old when they've shoplifted $5 worth of items isn't necessarily equal treatment when you're treating someone else who may be older or may even be younger with just a theft charge when there's no basis for the difference, when they've both gone in and done the same exact thing.
Reitz says unless someone has taken advantage of the system, she's more likely to charge a person in that situation with a misdemeanor. Miller-Jones also takes issue with the way Reitz has handled a couple of high-profile cases. Last month at a sentencing hearing, Corey Shackelford leaped from his spectator seat in the courtroom and struck the man charged with murdering his wife's parents. Shackelford spent the night in jail, but Reitz chose not to charge him with a crime. Miller-Jones says despite what the convicted murderer had done, that sends the wrong message.
Because he committed this horrible offense, it's okay that he got beat on and this man spent a night in jail and that's just fine and dandy and we don't need to charge that crime. But what we're allowing now is anybody can come into court and if they don't like what's happening, they can attack whomever they want in court.
Reitz says had someone else been hurt in that incident, Shackelford may well have faced criminal charges. But she says it's not open season on the accused and there are protections in place to ensure that, including charging someone with contempt if need be, and ensuring that adequate court security is in place. Miller-Jones was also upset with the 2006 case of Jennifer Stark, a young woman who was charged with improper lane usage receiving a fine and probation after her car struck and killed bicyclist Matt Wilhelm in Urbana. Stark admitted to downloading a ringtone on her cell phone at the time. Reitz says any attempt to charge Stark with reckless homicide would have been thrown out by a judge, and while efforts are currently stalled among state lawmakers to enact a more stringent law of vehicular negligent homicide, Reitz says traffic-related cases will always tend to bring out more emotion.
This is a tough explanation to give, but as the state's attorney, I have a responsibility to look people in the eye and say, this is the way the law is, and I'm not going to play politics or public relations in order to make myself look better when I wouldn't be following the law.
Miller Jones says her experience in the public defender's office gives her a better idea of how a crime affects everyone involved, including family members of the victim and defendant and social service agencies. For those reasons, she believes the state's attorney's office needs more community outreach to educate people on how to avoid crimes like obstruction of justice.
This is how you deal with police officers when you're stopped. This is the information that you give. This is why you need to give that type of information. I could do that now as a public defender, but quite frankly, I'm not going to get the same type of welcoming, or they're not going to listen to me as much as they would if I were the state's attorney.
Reitz says as a public official, she speaks regularly to high schools and colleges and even suggests Miller Jones could join her on such occasions. But she says that has a limit, and what her opponent wants is simply outside the realm of her primary responsibility as prosecutor.
I can get out and spread that kind of word, and I do that. But at the end of the day, the responsibility for teaching our children how to follow the law, that has to start at home.
Along those lines, Reitz does want to work more with social service agencies and do more to address juvenile delinquency in the years ahead. She says the county's quarter-cent sales tax earmarked for that area should be better utilized to provide counseling for young people and their families. Miller Jones, a political newcomer, remains a public defender with an active caseload. But she says if she's elected and has to prosecute any clients, they'd be handed off to a special prosecutor. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
Meteorologist Ed Kieser says it'll be another freezing night tonight in most of the two-state area. Today's forecast: in northern and east central Indiana, cloudy with scattered flurries with light rain and snow showers. In Illinois, mostly sunny, as well as in southwest Indiana. Elsewhere in Indiana, partly sunny. Highs today ranging from 40 in northeast Indiana to 52 in southwest Illinois. Sunny and only 48 today in Champaign-Urbana. Clear and cold tonight in the Champaign-Urbana area and most of the two states. Mostly cloudy still in northern and east central Indiana. Lows tonight from 24 in some northern and central Illinois locations to 32 in the far south and near Lake Michigan, 25 in Champaign-Urbana. For tomorrow, in northern and east central Indiana, partly sunny, elsewhere mostly sunny. High still cold, ranging from 46 in northeast Indiana to 62 in southwest Illinois, 58 though in Champaign-Urbana, not bad. Tomorrow night, clear, the low 33, sunny on Thursday, and a high of 67 degrees. It'll be 70 degrees with sunshine on Friday. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, October 28th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.